So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 4, text 32 and 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, word meanings for text number 30. Yata as Gana, a cloud, Arka of the sun, Prabhava, the product, Arka by the sun, Darshita made visible, he indeed, Arka of the sun, Amsabhutasya, which is the partial expansion, Sha and Chakshusha of the eye, Tama, darkness, Avam, in the same way, true indeed, Aham, false ego, Brahma Guna, a quality of the absolute truth. Tatikshita, visible through the mercy, through the agency of that absolute truth. Brahma Am Shakashya, of the partial expansion of the absolute truth. Atmana, of the jiva soul. Atmabandhana, serving to obstruct the perception of the Supreme Soul. Yata gananorka prabhavarka darshito.
Yarkam sabhutasya
chachakshusha tama. Evam taham brahma gunastad ikshito.
Evam taham brahma gunastad ikshito.
Brahmam yasakashyatma atma bandhana.
Brahmam yasakashyatma atma bandhana.
Yatagana kshaka prabhavakshana darshito. Yarkam sabhutasya chakshusha tama. Evam taham brahma gunastad ikshito.
Evam taham brahma gunastad ikshito.
Brahmam sakashatmana atma bandhana. Please chant.
Evam taham brahma gunas Sarikshito.
Ramam Sakasya Atma Abandana.
Let's just read 33 and 34, then we'll go back and read the English to everything. So can we have 33? Text number 32. Although a cloud is a product of the sun and is also made visible by the sun, it nevertheless creates darkness for the viewing eye, which is another partial expansion of the sun. Similarly, material false ego, a particular product of the absolute truth made visible by the absolute truth, obstructs the individual soul, another partial expansion of the absolute truth, from realizing the absolute truth. 33. When the cloud originally produced from the sun is torn apart, the eye can see the actual form of the sun. Similarly, when the spirit soul destroys his material covering of false ego by inquiring into the transcendental science, he regains his original spiritual awareness. Purport. Just as the sun can burn away the clouds that prevent one from seeing it, the Supreme Lord, and he alone, can remove the false ego that prevents one from seeing him. There are some creatures, however, like owls, who are averse to seeing the sun. In the same way, those who are not interested in spiritual knowledge will never receive the privilege of seeing God. Text 34, my dear Parikshit, when the illusory false ego that binds the soul has been cut off with the sword of discriminating knowledge, and one has developed realization of Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Soul, this is called Ajnantika, or ultimate annihilation of material existence. Om Gyanate Manandasya Gnanjana Shilakaya Chakshuna Nuritamina Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. Hare Krishna. So I feel compelled to give a little disclaimer here at the beginning of class. Maybe it's my legal training, or maybe it's just the state of the world today. I have to give a disclaimer, because the title that I've given to this little talk this morning may be a little shocking, so I should give a little disclaimer. That's, I don't mean to go out and do this. Don't do this at home, they say. And I'm not advocating any particular type of action, but basically just using a colloquial term to explain what happens in this world. So that's the disclaimer. And the title of the talk this morning is Why It's Good to Get the... I can't even get it out. Why It's Good to Get the Hell Beat Out of You. Why It's Good to Get the Hell Beat Out of You. Why It's Good to Get the Hell Beat Out of You. There's a colloquial phrase. Colloquial means familiar, informal. So there's a phrase, to get the hell beat out of you. Do you know this phrase?
I know.
You never heard it. You're lucky. You're fortunate. But I think that we've all experienced it. That's the point. Material nature has a way of beating the hell out of us. And I think everyone's experienced that in different spheres of life. Maybe not physically beat, although unfortunately that does happen occasionally to different people in this material world. But certainly in the sense of being defeated in our endeavors in different ways, we have the hell beat out of us all the time. We try to accomplish something by working very hard and we get nothing. Or reverses in life, which are part of material existence, come and have a very devastating effect on our lives and the lives of those around us. Perhaps it would be good to describe what I mean by hell. Get the hell beat out of you. What I mean by hell. The meaning is found in a couple of places. One is the prayers of Queen Kunti. She says, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shri Bir Edamana Madat Bhuman Naivar Tahat Adibita Tun Vai Tama Kenshina Gochuram. My dear Lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So these things are the substance of life. Respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty. These are things that people strive for in material existence. And the result is what? They get the hell beat out of them trying to do that. And we can see it by different examples. Respectful parentage. For those from this country, we have our royal family too. The Kennedys were like a royal family. They captivated the America in the 1960s. But what happened to that respectable parentage? Well, the father, Joseph Kennedy, had four sons. The first one died in a plane crash. The second one was elected president of the United States but was assassinated. The third was running for president of the United States. He was assassinated. And the fourth Ted Kennedy was involved in an accident where a young lady was killed when he drunkenly drove off of a bridge. Kind of stained his career. So respectable parentage. Oh, the Kennedy family's Camelot. You know, there was so much romanticism around the family. But what do you see? Simply disaster, one after another. And then the young scion of the family who was going to save everything, he was killed in a plane crash. So, respectable parentage, their desire was to achieve that. But it was frustrated. You know, the family literally had the hell beat out of it because, what is his name? Closer? Hare Krishna. So, respectable parentage. People lose all the time. A great opulence. In this country in the 19... What was it? This is 2019. So just about 100 years ago, maybe 90 plus years ago, the stock market crashed. And although the country was in the roaring 20s, so much money, economic development, so-called enjoyment, but it all came crashing down when the stock market came down in 1929. And went into a depression that lasted about 15 years, where Americans were lining up the streets, but trying to just get their basic subsistence. All civilizations throughout the history are like this. They try to establish an opulent kingdom on earth, and they're frustrated. And so that continually happens. High education, bodily beauty, we know these things also don't last. Indeed, if you're in this country, which is supposed to be the land of opportunity, if you have wealth, you can buy your way in somehow or another to the top colleges. You don't have to qualify, as we see by the current scandal that's going on with college admissions. And so the material world is romanticized as if it's a wonderful place, but actually, if we look closely and we're honest about our experience, it's just that we're getting the hell beat out of us. It's because these things aren't worth, these things are actually hell, Naraka. Material parentage, opulence, high education, bodily beauty. These things, Kunti Dev points out, are just like a will-o'-the-wisp. They're a mirage. And we shouldn't waste our time striving for these things just to be frustrated in our endeavors time and time again. So, the question comes up then, is it a good thing to get the hell beat out of us? The problem is ahankara, which is the subject matter of these verses today. Due to the false conception that we can lord it over this material world, the living entity becomes bewildered by that. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai kamani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Vimudatma is not enough. Ahankara is one thing. Ahankara, this false identification of the self that causes us to run after mirages in the desert. But ahankara vimudatma, Bhagavad Gita says, vimudatma becomes bewildered. Or made a fool of. I mean, let's take the nice language off of it. Becomes bewildered is there, but it basically means the living entity is made a fool of, chasing after these things. So that's the problem. So is it a good thing that we have the hell beat out of us when we're chasing these things or not? Adi Purusha Prabhu, who was just visiting us here, I was hearing him speak either here in the temple or at one other program while I was here. And somebody asked him the question, how do we know whether we're sort of concocting what is our good fortune or what is actual good fortune? And he gave what I thought was a very good answer to that. He said that it depends on the result. It was my kind of answer, because I like to say, well, somebody asked me a question, well, it depends. So, it depends. What does it depend upon? Whether something is good or bad. Something good happened to us or something bad happened to us. What's the defining characteristic? Well, it depends on the result, he said. And there's two results that if they happen, then you know it's good. And you shouldn't be bewildered by any other consideration, because then you're ahankara vimudatma. But if you get off of that bodily platform, ahankara vimudatma, and you judge what's good or bad based on these two things, then you're on safe ground. So what are those two things? One is that if something happens, but it results in you getting the association of devotees, then it's good. Then it's good to get the hell beat out of you if it results in you getting association of the devotees. The other, it's good if you get the hell beat out of you and you get service to Krishna as a result. So these two things are the determining factor about whether something that happens to you is good or bad. And we should learn to think in these terms. I think that the example I thought of, and you may have other examples as well, but the example I thought of is Kal Krishnadas, who accompanied Lord Chaitanya on his tour of South India. Isn't it Kal Krishnadas, right? Now, he went, you're right, I hear it, somebody's saying it there, the Vadaharis. Who said that? Okay. Yes, a band of gypsies. He was traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet he was attracted and lured away from the Lord's association to go with the Vadaharis, who were a band of gypsies, and give up the association of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally had to go to their camp and grab him and drag him out of their association back with him and travel with him. Now this took place in South India, and let's say it was halfway through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 6 years of traveling. So for 3 years, despite that having happened to him, he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when they got back to Puri, what happened? Was one of the first things that happens. He called his associates and said, this Krishna Das is no longer welcome in my association. He left me to go to a band of gypsies, and I had to rescue him. So now I'm finished with him. I'm no longer responsible for him. He can do whatever he likes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Even if someone came to us and told us, I heard this last night, someone was in the Russian military and they went on leave. But when they came back, at the gate to get back into the camp, they told him, we don't need you anymore. Sorry, you're not welcome. You can't come in. Just like that, he was out, gone. no matter what kind of sacrifice he had made. Can you imagine if that happened to us, how devastating it would be to our lives that if we're told, we don't need you anymore? What would we feel like? Well, that's what Kala Krishnadas was going through. That's what he was going through, trying to imagine a situation. But was it good that he got the hell beat out of him? That's the question. And how do we determine that? I gave you two factors how to determine it. So what happened to Kala Krishnadas? Who can say? There are two. One, two things happened. So what were they? He got Sadhu Sangha. The other devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they saw what was happening to him, and they gave him their association. They gave him their association. So, according to the test Adi Purusha Prabhu taught us, he got the association of devotees. So he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he got association. The other one, somebody else. What was his service? They gave him service. What service did they give Kala Krishnadas? Hey, go to Bengal and tell the devotees that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returned to Puri after 6 years of traveling. So he got some service. So even though he went through such a devastating event, in the colloquial we were speaking today, he had the hell beat out of him. He got this, it was good, because he got the association of devotees and he got some service. How fortunate are we that we have some little service? We sort of take it for granted, you know, okay, I'll do a little service or not. But the great devotee families, especially in Puri, for centuries, their family has done some little service. Oh, on Tuesdays, we bring flowers for the afternoon darshan. That's their service. And they've taken that service in their family for generation after generation, because it's a little service to the Lord, and that's so valuable. We tend to take it light, whether it's service or not. But service, it's a sign of the mercy of the Lord. And so we should be aware of this. Yeah, so Kala Krishnadas, he's an example of that. And I'm sure we can find examples in our own lives. Sometimes things happen to us in this material world. We get the hell beat out of us one way or another. And we need some shelter. Where do we go? Where should we go to get that shelter? We should go to the assembly of Vaishnavas. I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada speaking this morning. He was saying, that's why we're maintaining all these centers all over the world, so that devotees can have association. So, that's the determinant of whether something that happens to us is good or bad, that we get service or we get the association of devotees. Now, as I mentioned, ahankara is the enemy, the false ego, and that ahankara takes various forms. The ones that Kunti Devi described, but others as well. Even sort of physical forms, we're talking about getting hell beat out of us. Sometimes you meet a very big, strong person, and that person tends to be very carried away with their strong and big and muscular body. So sometimes they intimidate people. Purposely or not purposely, they intimidate people. And so that's a physical manifestation of the false ego, the big bulging muscles. But we've seen in the Krishna's Leela how different devotees or let's say living entities, devotees and non-devotees, have related to Krishna in ways in which they were physically engaged in some kind of fight with Krishna. We take Jambavan, for example, Rikshiraj. Jambavan was engaged in a fight, a physical fight with Krishna. You know the story of the Shyamataka jewel, how Krishna had been somehow or another the subject of rumors and defamation in Dwarka, of all places, because it was thought that he took the Shyamataka jewel for his own benefit. So he set out himself to rectify this smear on his character by going to find the Shyamataka jewel, who Prasena, who was a brother of Satyajit. Now Satyajit's daughter was married to Krishna, isn't it?
Yes.
Satyabhama. So this is an example of how sometimes family life gets you entangled. Beats the hell out of you, involves in family life. So anyway, Krishna was implicated in the disappearance of the Shyamataka jewel, so he had to go to the forest. And what had happened is Prasena, Satyajit's brother, had taken the jewel for a ride in the forest. He was attacked by a lion, killed, and then the lion had the jewel. And then the Jambavan, his son, wanted it, therefore he killed the lion to take it, or the lion just happened to be there and he killed the lion and took it?
The
Jambavan's a bear, but I'm saying he killed the lion. Okay, so he killed the lion and gave it to his son. And so Krishna, wanting to clear his name, so-called, went to the cave where Jambavan was living, and he came before the nurse that was there with the small child who was playing with the Shyamataka jewel. And the nurse screamed, and Jambavan came. And he said, he was coming to say, "Who the hell you think you are coming to my place, taking the, you know, this, disturbing my child and my family and our servants and our whole scene here? Who are you?" And so they started to fight. Physically, they were fighting. They fought for 28 days, day and night, nonstop fighting. Now, there's two ways to understand how the story develops from there. One can understand that by getting the repeated blows of Krishna to his bulging muscles, he finally realized that this, my strength, I'm strong, I'm these bulging muscles, and I can't defeat this person, therefore this person must be the Supreme Lord himself. Or you can understand it that Krishna wanted to enjoy Viraras fighting. He wasn't satisfied with puny demons like Ravana and Kamsa. He wanted to fight with somebody equal or could give him a better fight, so therefore he fought with Rikshiraj, Jambavan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains like this, that he wasn't satisfied with the fighting that he had before, so he wanted to fight with Jambavan. And Jambavan gave him a good fight for 28 days, but then he began to realize, after he was getting his bulging muscles pounded by Krishna, he began to realize, this is the same Lord as my worshipful deity, Lord Ramachandra. This is the same person. And so it was good for him to get the hell beat out of him, because he began to realize, this is the Supreme Lord himself. And of course, he did surrender to Krishna, But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that he was seeing Ram, not Krishna. He saw his Lord as Lord Ramachandra that came, and he was again serving his Supreme Lord, Sri Ramachandra. So he got, from his fight, physical fight, he got service. He got service, got to serve his Supreme Master, Sri Ramachandra. So that fighting with the Lord was good. It resulted in service, additional service, further service to Lord Ramachandra for Jambavan. So there was another sort of forest animal that experienced things differently when they physically fought with the Supreme Lord. Who is it? Can you guess? Dvivida. But you saw my notes at home, you can't. Dvivida. Dvivida was a demon. And the name of the chapter is The Deliverance of Dvivida Gorilla. It's interesting, in the fight between Lord Balaram and Dvivida, that they were using trees and boulders for most of the fight. They were throwing big boulders at each other and uprooting trees and smashing each other. Balaram at one point smashed him with his club on the head. But it's almost like it didn't faze him. He kept fighting. But they came to a point in their fight where Dvivida was so angry and frustrated that he approached Lord Balaram and he started pounding on his chest with his bare hands. Now, that pounding didn't result in real... He was touching the Supreme Lord, just like Jambavan was touching the Supreme Lord during their fight. But the touching that Dvivida was doing did not reveal to him service to Krishna, or didn't give him association of devotees. So, unfortunately, of course, it did give him liberation. The name of the chapter is Deliverance of Dvivida Gorilla. But it was a different experience that he had from Jambavan, although they were both fighting physically and touching the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, anything in contact with the Supreme Lord is good, but it varies. You get different things. Jambavan got, he could understand he's getting personal association with his Lord, Sri Ramachandra. Dvivida, at best, got some kind of impersonal liberation. Didn't explain so much in the Krishna book, or at least I didn't have time to delve into it more, but there's differences there. Now there's further differences in another type of fight that Krishna had with his devotees. And that's the fight that Krishna had with the gopis when he was taking them across Manasi Ganga on a boat. Dvivida didn't recognize, didn't realize, have realization of who the Supreme Lord was, so he was at a certain level. But there's a higher level that results from the same similar type of fighting. Krishna, he was fighting with the gopis, you know, the Leela. The gopis had to take their milk products to Mathura, so they had to cross Manasi Ganga, but there was no boatman except one boatman. And who was that boatman hiding in the boat? It was Krishna. And so the gopis boarded that boat after fighting with him over the price. You know, he wanted to, everything had to be, you know, a fight, you know. They were verbally fighting. And so they finally agreed, and he started taking them across, and then Krishna started to make the boats sink in different ways and tell them to throw their milk products off the thing. So that was going on a while, and there was fighting words going back and forth between them. And then finally, Krishna created a storm so the gopis would be afraid, and with the wind blowing and the boat rocking. Indeed, as the boat rocked, Srimati Radharani, she lost her balance, and as you fall, you sort of grab for something. So you have to steady yourself. So she grabbed Krishna, the boatman. But then she realized, as soon as she touched him, she realized, oh, this is Krishna. Before that, they couldn't understand the disguise. But just see the difference between the touching. Devita was touching for 28 days, and the Lord revealed himself because he was satisfied by his service of fighting. Devita touched, he banged personally on Balaram's chest, but he didn't get any realization that this is the Supreme Lord. But the gopis, when they touched Krishna because of the rocking of the boat, they could immediately understand, and Krishna could not hide from them. In one sense, Krishna hid from Jambavan so he could fight with him. Otherwise, why would the devotee fight the Lord? He's hidden to some degree. Dravida, he was so covered, he couldn't understand at all that this was the Supreme Lord. But the gopis, when they came in touch with Krishna, they could immediately understand, this is Krishna. He couldn't hide from them. So it says here in the verses we read today, in the purports, just as the sun can burn away the clouds that prevent one from seeing it, the Supreme Lord, and he alone can remove the false ego that prevents one from seeing him. So Krishna is so controlled by the gopis that they could understand him, the boatman being him, even though Krishna was trying to disguise himself. That's how exalted devotees they are of Krishna. Krishna cannot hide from them. And they understood who he was. Whereas Krishna is the only one, as according to the purport there, that has the power to remove the curtain so we can see him. So two things, service and association, these things are how we should take life's happenstance to us, that they give us an opportunity to determine what's good or bad, whether service or association results from them. So these are some thoughts on these verses, comments, questions, Madan Mohan.
The other day I had a conversation with Adi Purusha, and he gave this example which would fit here nicely. He says when sometimes with a rug you put it over the line and you beat on the rug, it's not because you don't like the rug, it says you just want to get the dust out of it. So you actually love the rug, but you want it clean. So sometimes we may be put over the line and get a little dusting, like as you were putting it today, how we're getting beat, but Dorga also has her job to make sure you're getting the point, but the same idea.
Mm. Get the dusting. Should we
come? I was thinking Dravida Gorilla, he was a servant of Lord Ramachandra, just like Jambavan. But he seems to be more antagonistic towards Balaram. You know, but But like you're comparing the two outcomes. I was wondering though how his outcome was much different than Jambahan. You know, he got the course on liberation or whatever. So, no, but I thought he was an equal servant of Lord Ramachandra.
Well, he certainly, in the Leela as it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, took the role of an antagonist towards Krishna, towards Lord Balaram. And in the Krishna book, there's not information that describes where he went or what it was his destination after he was killed by Balaram. Chapter ends there, so maybe more research should be done to understand more about the situation. Anything else? Yes, Brian?
I have one question also. I have a comment on the when in Ram Lila, Divida Garila was very close to Lord Ram, that's true. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if I recall, he said because he was little bit disrespectful to Lakshman. So we can be very close to Krishna, but if we don't have enough respect to our Guru, Prabhupada, this can happen to us also, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And as a result, next life, even though he's an eternal associate in one sense, he's going with the Lord's pastimes, but because he's this ill feeling or disrespectful feeling towards the Vaishnava or Baladev Prabhu, Lakshman, that he continues that, and Baladev ultimately ended it. And no more his ill feeling, and finally he entered into the spiritual world with full-fledged devotion.
Similar to Miniketan Ramdas.
Yes, Miniketan Ramdas, yes. Gunanava Mishra, that is pastime, yes. I have a question is that this is a very nice way you displayed about whether it is something good or concocted or bad, what it's end up with or ending with. So that idea of that if it is ending with Sadhu Sangha and Seva, then it's best or that's good. But that's very ideal, but that's at the end. What happened in the beginning and the middle? That's where the mind is disturbed.
Granted, it's waiting for the end is hard, and going through it is going through hell.
Yes.
So what is one advised to do? Tams titiksha shabharata, to tolerate and go through, even Prabhupada would say, people throwing problems with this. Just tolerate. That's an unacceptable advice for someone who doesn't have faith in the Guru. Just tolerate. But if the Guru says just tolerate, then what can you do? You just have to tolerate. And it may be hard, yes, it will be hard. But the order of the Guru should be taken seriously, and if we apply that to our whatever situation we're in, then I think that the experience is, on the whole, that we come through it, and the difficulty passes, and we do get to the point of association and service. So tolerate.
Then you are saying ending up with those two results is great. But whether it's concocted or good or bad, we are not concerned at the end. But in the beginning, if we are not concerned, I was just curious, I wanted to hear your opinion. How do we know we may not end up with Sadhu Sangha? We may end up with going diverted to...
Well, I guess the point is that it's not just at the end. As you're going through it, if you get the opportunity for service and association, you should take it, you know, and not just wait till the end, but take it immediately. Take it. Anybody else? Oh, Damas.
With Kalia Krishna Das, I was just thinking that both the chastiser and the chastised has to be very qualified to enrich such a reciprocation and result, and also that Lord Chaitanya had Kalia Krishna at heart, and his criticism and chastisement and rejection of him was more constructive, wasn't envious in any way. And that's one of the reasons why he was able to get the association of devotees. So I also often talk about such situations that in our present situation with us, if something maybe just 1/100th of a percent to that should happen with us here, how would we treat it, or what would be the results? Because, like, at least for me, so unqualified that if someone even thought of chastising, I might want to just be negative or want to run away or, you know, something like that. So it looks like, you know, the devotee, the chastised, has to be very qualified to be able to take these chastisement and see the better of it.
Yeah, well, there's many things that push the line. What about Chota Haridas? Chota Haridas was like, don't come back, don't get association. And he had to ultimately take his own life because he was left on his own, but then he came back to render service in an unembodied form. So, yeah, there is not a shortage of trials that devotees have to go through.
You can say that again.
So what do? We have to try to strive for service and association with tolerance and patience, and wait for Krishna's mercy. So... Why don't we end there? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.